Okay, then we're going to move on to Michelle Ganassi from the Daily American, followed by Joseph Jafari from PA Post.
My question, our state representative, which I've seen this has been happening in other areas of the state as well, has written a letter on behalf of Somerset County looking at the districts or the health regions and asking that a smaller county like Somerset not be using the same criteria as Allegheny in determining when we will reopen. Can you talk a little bit about those requests that you've been getting and how you're looking at these different things as we move towards May 8th?
Yeah, no, that's a fair question. I'm not sure how the impression that we're looking just at the health regions. I think every agency has different regions, and health is not alone. And in addition to that, we have obviously counties. So we're looking at making common sense decisions here as to when to open, and we will certainly try to be as logical and rational as we possibly can. I mean, there will be some subjectivity to this, but we're not wedded to any one region or any one way of looking at this. So we have some broad guidelines, trying to be objective, but in the end, we're just going to look at what we can do to keep people safe. So again, I'm sorry that there's some misunderstanding that we're wedded to specific regions. I think the health department has used their own regions in talking about things, but we're not going to be stuck with any one set of what a region is or what a county is as we go through this process.
Thank you. Next, we have Joseph Jafari from PA Post, followed by Tim Craig from the Washington Post. Joseph?
Hi, Governor. Thanks for making the time. This is Emily Previty, Joseph's colleague on his behalf, and his questions are, what's being done about mass testing in state prisons? In Montgomery County, for example, they tested all the inmates and found almost 18% were infected. Other states have tested entire prison populations and then isolated those who test positive. And why aren't we doing the same to keep the spread from getting any worse than it is already?
Yeah, now you're talking about, I think, the Montgomery County prison, which is a county prison, not a state prison. In Montgomery County, I think we have, one prison, SCI Phoenix. And we have a lockdown. We are not allowing visitors into the prison. We are doing testing. I'm not sure. I just don't know the answer to the question. Sarah can get you the information as to whether we're doing mass testing, but we're testing certainly everybody who has some form of a risk, whether on the correctional officer side or on the prisoner side, and every prisoner is isolated. So we have had, I think, pretty good success so far. We have another cabinet meeting coming up on Thursday. And I'll get up to date on exactly what's happening in the state prisons. The state prison system is helping, and where it can with county prisons, and I know a couple, including Pike County, the state prison system is Department of Corrections is working with them to try to support what they do. But again, there's a difference between the regulations and the procedures that are applied in county prisons than in the state prisons. State prisons, we're doing everything we can to keep both prisoners and correctional officers safe. And so far, I think we've had some success with that. Sarah, we'll get back to you as to exactly what kind of testing we're doing in the Department of Corrections.
Thanks. Yes, I'll get back to Emily. Next, we have Tim Craig from Washington Post, followed by Scott Beveridge from the Observer Reporter. Tim?
Hi, Governor. Get ready in the coming weeks and months to reopen perhaps different parts of the state at different times, do you envision a scenario where regions will have to keep track of visitors from other parts of the state or other states in general? Especially as we head in the summertime, like you look at the Poconos, or you look at the northern tier mountain areas, where people may be looking for escapes in the more rural areas of summer with the beaches maybe closed or not. How do you track or monitor as you open up one part of the state, making sure it doesn't become an influx of people from other parts of the state or other states in general traveling to that region looking for either holiday, vacation, or even, you know, restaurants or a cup of coffee.
We're not planning to do, I'm not sure that's constitutional to regulate travel between areas either within the state or between states. We are developing a contact tracing system. Hello?
Down here.
Hello? We are developing a contact tracing system that is not finished yet, and that will involve some looking people who they were in contact with to try to quell the spread of the disease. But in terms of shutting visits down either within the state of Pennsylvania or between citizens of our state and other states, I don't see how that's happening. We're not planning to do that.
But if I could follow up, should local governments be reticent about, say they're in the Poconos, be reticent about reopening their cities fully to outside commerce, tourism, hotels, when from people from New York City, for instance, if New York City is not at least the place where they're comfortable opening up themselves?
Yeah, I don't see that is constitutional or even fair. I think what we need to do is make sure that if someone has a disease or someone is in contact with someone with a disease, that they ought to self-quarantine and they ought to take themselves out of circulation. That's just a safe thing to do, and I think that will be part of the contact tracing. But we're going to be indifferent as to where you come from. What we're going to care about is if you're a carrier of the disease. And again, you know, Pennsylvania, you talked about opening up. We have a date certain. The reopening process in Pennsylvania starts next Friday, May 8th. And we're going to do it in stages, just like we closed the state down. And it will be regionally in stages. It will be staged by business sector. So the things that have the most likelihood of contagion will be the last to open. The areas that are least susceptible to the disease right now will be the first to open, and we'll keep open the possibility that as the results change, if things turn worse, we will retreat from that. But right now, we're planning to start the reopening process on May 8th, next Friday.
Thank you, Governor. Next, we have Scott Beveridge from The Observer Reporter, followed by WTAE. Scott? Are you on the call, Scott?
Yes.
And if everyone could also mute their phone if they're not speaking, that would be very helpful. Sorry, Scott.
I pushed *6 and it didn't unmute my phone, so I'm sorry. But anyway, employers that are allowed to be open right now are already saying that they have workers who are afraid to come back to work. How severe of a problem do you think this is going to be once things start rolling and people are still going to be afraid to either come back to work or shop?
I think that's a real worry, and it's a worry that is caused by the fears that we move too precipitously or illogically. I think one of the things that we've got to make sure we do is give people the confidence that they can go back to work, give customers the confidence that they can go and browse in a store or patronize a business. So it's one of the, I think, mistakes, one of the problems with where we are right now, that people have too great a faith in policy. You can't snap your fingers and say, okay, everything's going to be open, because it won't. If people don't feel safe, they're not going to go back to work. If people don't feel safe, they're not going to be customers. Business owners aren't even going to want to open up their businesses. So that's where I think we need to really focus on things like contact tracing, like adequate testing capacity. But most of all, what we've got to do is show the same kind of logic in reopening the state in stages in a measured, reasoned way that gives people the confidence that we are doing this the right way. There are parts of Pennsylvania that are ready to open. There are businesses that are ready to open. And we ought to recognize that. We ought to also recognize that there are businesses that are not ready to open, that there are businesses that can't guarantee their customers or their employees that they're going to be safe. And so I think part of this is the way that we open, and part of this is how we behave with each other once we're open. I mean, people are going to be wearing masks. We need to have better testing capacity, and as we get to that, that's going to help with that, build that confidence. But it all comes down to the point you just made, and that is we can say we're going to be open, and if people don't feel comfortable, we're not going to be open.
Thank you. Next up, WTAE, followed by Maddie O'Neill from the Erie Times News. Is someone on from WTAE? And again, if we could mute if you're finished with your question or not asking a question. Thanks. Is WTAE on the call?
Yes. Do you guys hear us?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, Governor Wolf, just with the announcement yesterday that golf courses and fishing, just all the outdoor activities that can resume starting this weekend, do you have any concerns about a mixed message that people might be getting with regards to, you know, we still have the stay-at-home orders, yet it's okay for people to go outside and do these activities outside? I mean, are you concerned that people might feel too comfortable, or that mixed messages are being sent? Is the stay-at-home order in direct conflict with the announcement that people can do these activities outside?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I don't think so. And the reason is because the stay-at-home order, right from the start, said, you know, go outside and jog, take a walk, just, you know, maintain social distancing, and if you're going to be with somebody else, wear a mask. The idea is that, you know, golf is something that, I mean, I don't play golf, but I think it's something that is in line with that idea that we want to stay physically safe, but we also want to stay mentally safe. And in many ways, going outside in nice weather in solitary exercise is something that could actually be good. So golf, fishing, I think it's consistent. I guess anybody could misinterpret anything, but again, right from the start, the stay-at-home order was accompanied by the idea that you know, you stay home to the extent possible, but if you have to go out to buy food, you have to go out to buy pharmaceuticals, you should do that. And the same thing, which was essential, is to keep yourself healthy, mentally healthy. And you want to go outside and take a walk or a jog, you should be feel free to do that. So I'm hoping that this is seen in exactly the same way that we're trying to accommodate the mental as well as the physical health needs of Pennsylvanians here.
Thank you. Next, we have Maddie O'Neill from the Erie Times News, followed by Rhonda Kaiser from WGAL.
Hi, Governor.
Maddie.
Hi, Governor. This is Maddie O'Neill from the Erie Times.
Hi, Maddie.
I wanted to talk about your move yesterday to reopen golf courses and marinas, and also the fact that up here in Northwest Pennsylvania, we expect to be among the first regions to open. Can you talk about how you will be assessing whether these steps lead to a spike in cases, and what, if anything, might make you decide to walk these steps back?
Again, we want to make that decision as objective as possible, to open in the first place and then to walk back the opening if it doesn't seem to be working. And we'll be looking at a number of new cases. We'll be looking at the mortality rate. We'll be looking at basically how are we doing. And again, let's remember what we're trying to do here. We've been trying to buy time to keep the disease from overrunning the capacity of our healthcare system. And I think we have done that. And that's why we're ready to start the reopening process on May 8th, which I think is the responsible thing to do. But if we see in any part of the state where we have opened that looks like they're in good enough shape to open, and we see that things are not looking real good, that the healthcare system is starting to look like it's going to be stretched beyond capacity, then we reserve the right to walk that back. And again, just as I gave the answer to the last question, right now, getting outside is a good thing. and we need to make sure that people are doing everything they can to keep mentally fit as well as physically fit in this pandemic. We're trying to keep people safe. So to the extent we can keep people safe and start this reopening process in a reasoned, measured way, I want to do that. If it doesn't work, we'll see that in the numbers, and we'll walk it back.
Thank you, Governor. Next, we have Rhonda Kaiser from WGAL, followed by Brad Bumstead from the caucus. Rhonda?
Yes, this is Rhonda from WGAL.
Hello.
Hello. My question is, the Lancaster County Commissioners just held a press conference, and they are calling for more transparency and collaboration with the state. Right now, they feel that the communication is more one-way, and the commissioners are calling for more two-way communication between the county and the state. Looking for your reaction to their criticism.
Well, two things. I'm sorry they feel that we're not as transparent as they would want us to be. And second, whatever we can do to increase the communications, I'd be happy to do that. That's something that I think is really important. So, I mean, I think I think that they think that the state isn't doing that, but I applaud them for making that an issue that they want to focus on. I think communications is absolutely essential here. So I think that's a good thing that they're focused on that.
Thank you. Next, we have Brad Bumstead from the caucus, followed by Stephen Caruso from Capital Star. Brad?
Hello, Governor. How are you?
Hi, Brad. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, just wanted to follow up on the issue that was raised a couple of days ago by the AARP calling for more specific information about nursing homes, number of COVID cases, and the deaths that occur at each specific home. Is there any movement on that? Can you update us on what's going on with it?
Yeah, we are. You identified a real problem that long-term care facilities are always a concern, and it's why they're regulated so directly by the Department of Health. But that regulation and oversight has never been more important than it is during this pandemic. So it's something that we are working on. The Department of Health has the lead on that, but we are doing everything we know to do to address the situation, but it is a problem, and we will continue to focus on it and do what we can to keep the workers as safe as we possibly can. They're on the front lines to keep the patients, to keep the people in long-term care facilities safe. We've already forbidden visits to long-term care facilities. We are doing everything we can, and if there's something else that we need to do, we will do that. So it is a problem, Brad, and to the extent we can do a better job, we will continue to try to figure out how to do that and then do it.
Thank you. Next, we have Stephen Caruso from Capital Star, followed by Grace Griffiton from WPMT. Stephen? Okay, we'll move on to Grace.
Hi, Governor Wolf. Following up on the question earlier that you received from WGAL's EP, we were at that press conference as well, and county leaders in Lancaster County expressed that they don't believe they should be lumped in with the southeast corner of the state when it comes to reopening Lancaster County's economy. What would you say to that?
Well, I don't know how anybody believes they're going to be lumped in with anybody. I don't know. The decision has not been made as to how we're going to reopen. We're going to be looking at cases, how this disease is affecting different areas, including Lancaster County and other parts of the south central parts of the state. And the focus is going to be on keeping people safe. And that's the focus, whether you're in the western part of the state, the north central part of the state, in Lancaster County or Philadelphia. And so that's going to be guiding us. And we're going to do the best we can to start the reopening process in those regions and those areas that seem to have gotten to the point where they can afford to reopen without sacrificing or jeopardizing the health of the people in that area or that county. That's going to be what's guiding us. What's not going to be guiding us is some arbitrary definition of a region or some area that people may or may not be in from the point of view of geography or whatever. We're going to be driven by what we think is best in the best interest of the safety of the people of Pennsylvania.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Cynthia Fernandez from Spotlight PA, followed by Sarah Simon from Spotlight PA. Cynthia?
Hi, Governor. My question is following up with a question about nursing homes. Can you tell me why the state isn't releasing the names of the nursing homes yet? And do you think that your administration has been less transparent than other states?
First of all, those are two questions. I'm not sure what you mean we're not releasing the names of the nursing homes. They're all publicly known and are all regulated by the Department of Health. So, and the second part of the question, I don't know where we're not as transparent as other states. We want to be transparent, and we'll continue to try to do that. And if there's a place that we can do a better job, I'm all ears.
Thank you. Next, we have Sarah Simon from Spotlight PA, followed by Elizabeth Hardison from Capital Star. Sarah, is Sarah Simon on the call?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hi, Sarah.
Okay.
Hi, Sarah.
I pressed *6 and it said I was muted. Governor, the Department of Health has not only stopped providing numbers for deaths probably caused by the virus, but their confirmed death count for Philly has remained stagnant over much of the past week, and the county's own count for deaths is soaring above the state's. Are you concerned that Pennsylvanians aren't getting the full story about how deadly this virus is and that the state's incomplete death numbers are undermining public trust?
I was not aware that they're not getting. There is a site that I get every morning that shows the number of deaths. Now there have been changes, and I think from the federal government the definition of that we're still trying to understand what is between confirmed and probable deaths. But that's the only difference that I know of, and the number I get is changes every day. So there are, if there's a problem, Sarah, maybe you can follow up and find out what specifically the question is, because as far as I know, this is available.
Yeah, I can follow up with you, Sarah. Yeah, I will follow up with you.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Governor.
Sorry. Next, we have Elizabeth Hardison from Capital Star, followed by Anthony DiMattia from the Bucks County Courier Times. Elizabeth?
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yes. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi. Sorry, I was supposed to ask during Stephen's slot earlier, but I couldn't unmute myself. But Governor Wolf, could you confirm that there is a transfer of hundreds of prisoners taking place today from SCI Rockview? And if that's the case, can you tell me what DOC is doing to do this transfer safely and why it's happening now?
No, I can't confirm that because I don't know about that. But, Sarah, could you follow up on that and find out?
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, Elizabeth. I just don't know about that.
Can you comment then on the board of – sorry, never mind. I'll yield. Thank you.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Next, we have Anthony from the Bucks County Courier Times, followed by Angela Columbus at Spotlight PA. Anthony, are you on the call?
Governor, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes. Hi, Anthony. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. How are you doing?
Fine. How are you doing?
Pretty good. My question is, you said recently you set a benchmark for the rate of cases per 100,000 people. Have any benchmarks been set, similar benchmarks for hospital capacities for reopenings?
I'm sorry, I missed the last part of your question. Isn't that benchmark for which openings?
I'm sorry. Has there been any similar benchmarks for, like, for say, hospital capacity for reopening?
Well, as far as I know, no hospitals are closed. And I think, are you referring to elective surgery?
I'm sorry. I'm meaning as far as counties go? Is hospital capacity being considered as counties open?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's been a prime consideration right from the very start, which is why we did the shelter in place to try to keep the rate of increase of the disease contagion within the range of the healthcare system. Now, as different parts of the state have experienced higher rates of contagion than others, different parts of the states have gotten closer to capacity. But I don't think at this point we check every day. We do an inventory report on the personal protective equipment, on things that are needed for COVID patients in different healthcare settings. And so far, we have not exceeded the capacity of the healthcare system. We're stretching it in different places, but overall in Pennsylvania, we're well within the limit. So that's something we have been tracking, and we'll certainly track that, not only in terms of looking to reopen, to make sure that we're not reopening and just basically saddling healthcare providers in different regions with problems that are beyond their capacity, but we'll also keep checking on that to make sure that we haven't opened and then we have made a mistake and that the capacity was exceeded. We need to trace walk the reopening back. So we'll not only look at that in terms of the reopening, but we'll also look at it continuous even after the reopening to make sure we haven't made a mistake.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Next, we have Angela Columbus from Spotlight PA, and Angela is going to be our last question for today. Go ahead, Angela.
Hi, Governor. I want to make sure you can hear me first.
I can. Hi, Angela. It's good to have you here.
Hi. Thank you. Governor, I keep coming back to the same question of testing, and I hear you daily, as well as Dr. Levine, say that we need to ensure that there is enough testing available. But I'm wondering if you can tell us what that actually means. Are you going to require a specific benchmark for a county or a region in terms of testing before you declare it safe for them to reopen? And if yes, where are you in the process of developing that benchmark?
Yeah, we don't have a benchmark. We don't even have a benchmark. There's not a benchmark on testing for reopening, and we don't even have a benchmark as to where we need to be. I think we have recognized that this is something that we as a state are going to have to determine. We're not going to wait around for somebody else. And we also have determined that testing, there may be something else. I mean, contact tracing, maybe there's something else. But testing is at the heart of whatever process we're going to have to use to get people to be comfortable going back to work or going to the store, to reopening our economy. And until there's a vaccine or a cure, and both of those things seem somewhat of a long way off, testing is the thing that we're going to have to. Now, the question is, what kind of test? Diagnostic testing, antibody testing? Is it testing where the results take a long time to get to, or is it testing that we can turn around really quickly? And those are things that we haven't decided, but to me, and I think to most people right now, the key is that confidence that people can go back to school, to work, to shop, whatever, and testing, get on a public transit, get on an airplane. All of that is going to involve some way of assuring passengers, fellow students, fellow workers, that the people you're working with, you're sitting with, are not going to give you this infectious disease. And so we haven't decided exactly what that is. In the meantime, we are working as many different avenues as we possibly can to make sure that we get testing capacity really, really quickly. And we're working, again, multiple avenues. We don't know exactly what the testing is going to look like. And these avenues, by the way, include trying to find people who will make the testing stuff right here in Pennsylvania. So we're looking at all kinds of different ways. We have no specific benchmarks yet. I hope to get to those things. But I believe that there's a pretty broad agreement that testing is going to be at the heart of whatever it is we do, anybody does, to make people feel comfortable and safe and confident that they can go back to whatever it was that they want to do.